D-E-A-T-H. What does that spell? Death, 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 death.
Guess we're back. You want me to take it? A little surprise there. All right, it's trifecta time. Live from the beer garden outside of Texas Live. Opening day for the Rangers. We have a big one. Donovan Lewis, our Supreme Court Justice, joins us. Donnie, how are we?
Fantastic. How are you boys doing?
A little better. The wind's died down out here, so we're doing a little bit better. Are you doing good on Randall Cunningham birthday day?
Oh, my gosh. I just don't even know how else I'm going to celebrate.
I've thought about you all day long, just how special of a day today is for you.
I've just been walking around being the greatest athlete of all time. That's how you celebrate Randall Cunningham's birthday.
I totally agree. Totally agree with you. Well, we have another fine athlete to consider today, one of the true giants in his sport and in pop culture over the last 50-plus years, as we lost the great George Foreman over the weekend. For me, George Foreman, it's weird because the two lives of George Foreman are as strange of a trip as you could possibly go on as far as the juxtaposition between the two. Foreman was a raised very poor. He was a bad, bad boy in his early days, and his family said, you know what you should do? You should take up boxing. He was born in Marshall, Donovan, and ended up growing up in the Fifth Ward. Don't you have family in Marshall?
No.
Oh.
My wife was from East Texas, but that's it.
Okay. He grew up in the Fifth Ward community of Houston with six siblings, and at 16 or 17, he gave up football and decided, you know what, let me try boxing. And within the span of a couple of years, he was already at the very top of his craft, to the tune of winning the Golden Gloves here in Texas and being able to try and qualify for the 1968 Mexico City Olympic Games. And that he did, and he won the gold medal in the Summer Olympics, defeating an evil Soviet Union boxer.
Drago Sr.
What's that?
Drago Sr.
Yeah, Drago Sr. The referee stopped the fight in the second round, and people were already talking about him in 1968 as, man, is this guy for real? Like, could this guy be the next great one, as Muhammad Ali is starting to enter his prime? And then, of course, Muhammad Ali suspends his own career after refusing to join in the military for Vietnam and changes his name to Muhammad Ali and all that stuff. Well, Foreman keeps kicking ass, and by the time, within 3 years of winning the gold medal, he gets a shot at the title. Now, here's the cool part, is that whenever this started in the early 70s, this was a five-year run, and this is why I think this is so incredibly sad, because George Foreman is the last piece, living piece of this five-year run in which boxing will never have another five-year run like this.
Easily.
It started in 1971 when Joe Frazier fought Muhammad Ali for the first time. And Frazier beat him in a decision in 15 rounds. Frazier has the belt. Foreman works his way up the ranks and gets a title shot and absolutely demolishes the great Joe Frazier. And everyone's like, oh, my God, Frazier just beat Ali for his first defeat. And now this kid comes along and knocks him out in two rounds.
And that is the famous Down Goes Frazier fight.
Yes.
Down Goes Frazier.
And he fought this crazy Frazier style of fighting, you know, where it just looked like he was just such a brute. And he was huge.
He was Tyson before Tyson.
Yes, he was. Everyone was petrified of this guy.
He was the biggest, baddest man that didn't even think about having a fight that went more than three rounds.
Yes. And so then,
I love boxing.
Ali.
Thank you, Norm.
Then Ali starts his working his way back up, and he fights Ken Norton. of Ken Norton Sr. Of course, Ken Norton Jr., the famed middle linebacker for the Cowboys and 49ers. Well, his dad, Ken Norton Sr., you talk about like when Rocky got ripped, like in Rocky III, and Holyfield looked like Holyfield. Like, they didn't look like boxers. They looked like bodybuilders. Ken Norton looked like that. And people were like, holy crap, who is this guy? And Norton beat Ali. Then they immediately fought again. Ali beat Norton. And then it's time for Ali Frazier 2. Again, this all is happening within 2 years of each other.
Yeah.
Ali Frazier 2, in which Ali got revenge on him. Then George Foreman fights Ken Norton. And then George Foreman fights Muhammad Ali in the Rumble in the Jungle. Because Foreman, when he fought Ken Norton, who had just beaten Ali, knocked Ken Norton out in two rounds. So all these guys that gave Ali fits, Foreman murdered them. Like, they didn't even have a shot.
Sounds like Ali wasn't that great.
Well, he was, Dave. So before the famous Rumble in the Jungle, which took place on October 30th, 1974 in Zaire, and Foreman was undefeated and was, like we just said, a knockout artist.
Whose idea was that, by the way, to have a prize fight in Zaire?
Don King.
Yeah, and I think that they were both paid an exorbitant amount of money.
If you look at the fight log from Foreman's fights before Ali, and he didn't fight in the U.S. It was one in Venezuela, one in Jamaica. Like, they had to go overseas to make the real big money. Those promoters are go over. And yeah, Don King promised those guys so many millions of dollars to fight over in Zaire.
In the
and that's
70s.
How they went over there.
Yeah, dude, it was so huge. And this was when my dad would go to these closed circuit events. I mean, I remember as a little kid.
Before pay-per-view, right?
Yeah, he and his buddies would go like to the Will Rogers Coliseum, and you would pay $30 or whatever to get in there to watch these fights. I don't think he went commando then. That was only for Ranger games. So, anyway, before the fight, so before this Ali Foreman fight, Foreman is a ridiculously heavy favorite to beat Ali. Ali is 32 years old at the time. Foreman's a young pup. Foreman's killing all these guys. Well, here is Ali in an interview describing George Foreman.
This man has never knocked nobody out cold. He's a bully. He's slow. He has no skill, no footwork. He's awkward. And I have been giving him a name. I named Floyd Patterson the Rabbit. I named Sonny Liston the Bear. And he shall be known officially as the Mummy. The Mummy.
And why the Mummy?
Because he fights. When he's fighting, if you ever watch him in the ring, he drags like that after his opponent. And how's a mummy going to catch me when you're fighting a mummy? You just keep a step ahead of the mummy. See? Yeah, just move on the mummy. No, mummy, I'm over here. No, mummy, I'm over here. Yeah, no, you're moving too fast. The mummy don't move that fast. Let me tell you something, David.
It's killing.
I shall be the mummy's curse that day. Have you heard of the mummy's curse?
Have I heard of the mummy's curse?
Yes, it's going to be some fight.
So, Ali's the best. And so, everyone, and Foreman thinks, he's like, oh my God, I'm going to have to chase this guy all over the ring. All over the ring. Well, in the meantime, Ali came up with the rope-a-dope.
Well, don't forget, while they were in Zaire,
they
had to postpone the fight for 6 weeks because Foreman got cut.
Yes.
Sparring.
Yep.
So Ali went around just, everyone in Africa loved Ali, and they all rooted for Foreman. Now, you want to talk about the home, he made that a home game for him.
He did.
Everyone was cheering for him,
The chance of Ali, Bumbaye. If you've seen if you've seen the documentary When They Were Kings or When We Were Kings, it's one of my favorite documentaries of all time. It's about the Rumble in the Jungle. It is an incredible look at this fight and the build up to it and all that.
Agreed.
So he comes up with the rope-a-dope because Foreman had never gone more than four rounds in any fight. He just knocks the crap out of people.
Right, so he didn't have the stamina.
Right.
That was the theory anyway.
That was the theory. And so Ali, who was the jackrabbit, became the tortoise and came out and leaned against the ropes and let Foreman wail on him. And wail on him and wail on him round after round after round. And by the time they got to the eighth round, Ali came out and was Muhammad Ali, and Foreman was gassed. It was just a matter of him withstanding the punches, and he did.
That's like the Hulkster and Rocky.
I know,
they stole that move.
I know. And Ali absolutely seized the moment and pounded Foreman. And it's still, to this day, one of the most shocking moments in all of boxing. And one of the greatest moments. And then Ali was like, I ain't ever fighting that guy again. And so Ali had Joe Frazier part three. Foreman fought Joe Frazier again and beat him again in five rounds. Ali fought Ken Norton. And again, that was the last time of those guys fighting each other. So it went from 1972 to 1976, basically, where they all fought each other multiple times, and they were historic, titanic fights. But Foreman was done. And Foreman was bothered by Ali, the way he talked about him. It haunted him for a long time. And he was getting his ass beat in the ring and got so tired and thought he was dying of, like, heat stroke and dehydration that he basically said, God, if you save me, I'll serve you. And he survived, and then he became a minister. And that was it. Like, he quit boxing. And then famously, about 12 or 14 years later, in his late 30s, he decided to make a comeback. And I remember this as, you know, a kid in college. Yeah. Like, what is this old fat guy doing?
Such a big story.
It was so huge.
Was that before or after the grill?
Before. So
the comeback was to then market the grill?
The comeback, so he starts winning these fights and eventually gets a title shot against Michael Moore. And no, Dan, not the famed movie director.
Always a funny joke, though.
It is. And at the age
of... Foreman was getting his ass kicked against Michael Moore, and one punch laid him out, and he's the champion.
I know. And that was like in the 10th round, too, I think. And all of a sudden, George Foreman is the biggest star in sports. Because at the age of 44 or 45, whatever he was, he got the heavyweight championship back.
It's
yes.
like Phil Mickelson winning the U.S. Open. Everybody loves the old guy.
They do. They totally love the... And they especially love the big old guy. And he was like this almost grandfatherly figure in his 40s, you know? And, yes, by that time, the George Foreman grill was part of his scene. And
all his kids named George.
Apparently, and Donovan, I don't know if you know this specifically, but I've read he made about $250 million on the George Foreman grill.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Crazy.
$250 million. And then...
They were like in every college dorm room.
Yeah, my parents had one. You thought that you were like losing weight while making hamburgers. but yeah, I mean, later on, you know, in the 90s, he fought Holyfield again. I mean, like he bridged the gap between Ali... And fought Holyfield.
Jim Lampley loved him so much.
He had a TV show. Do you guys remember the short-lived TV show that he had on ABC called George?
Yes.
I mean, he was such a pop culture figure, and then he finally retired, and then at that point he became an announcer for HBO, and he was pretty good. Like, I was still watching boxing a lot when he was an announcer for HBO. But yeah, the life of George Foreman is nuts. And checked out last week at the age of 76 in Houston, Texas, his home. Anything else you want to add, Donnie?
No. I think you hit it all.
How many Georges did he have?
I think he had six.
Five kids, I believe.
All George.
Five boys that he named George, I think.
Yes. Yeah.
So funny.
All right, Lando.
Yeah, he's absolutely...
DJ.
Worthy.
Ham.
Worthy.
Donnie.
Absolutely.
Yep. You got a consensus here. The great George Foreman. Who does he join, DJ?
Believe this is starting a new room.
Starting a new room. Oh, man, he almost got in with Roberta Flack.
So close.
God.
He could just drill a hole in the wall.
Right. Hey, Roberta. Come on over here.
I want me some glory hole.
Okay. All right, Donnie. Thank you very much, man.
Thanks, Donnie.
Have fun, baseball boys.
We will. We will indeed.
Boxing.
There he goes. Donovan.
Thanks,
Lewis.
Norm.